Okay. Good evening, all of you that are listening on the internet. And we are in the study of Hebrews. So, in dealing with prayer, we want to be in prayer for Bobby as he still has surgery to go through. So let's be in prayer. In fact, how's he doing?
He was in very good spirits. He's doing fairly well. The doctors do think they're going to have to go back in and repair further. He's leaking spinal fluid. And once they get that done, then he can get up, get on his feet, and start therapy.
Okay. And let's be in prayer for Kit as he comes in tonight. Yes.
Oh, okay. Molly's already had the surgery. I was going to mention that.
Do what?
Molly's already had the surgery.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Molly had a good, successful surgery, and so Kit came home today, or is coming home tonight, so let's be in prayer for him. And Mike needs our prayers, and let's see, Fran, we need to be in prayer for Fran, and any other prayer request? Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer and then get into our study. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. What has happened in history to Israel, going from the age of Israel to the church age, difficulty, Father. So give us some understanding that will enrich our lives. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Okay, tonight we're going to be studying No Drifting Away. Meaning no drifting away from the truth of the Word of God. We've seen how Jesus is superior to angels. Jesus was, is, and always has been and will be God. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, God called Jesus God. So He is God. Now, the book of Hebrews is a rich book. And I want to go through a few things with you. We're going to look at evaluation, exhortation, examination, expectation, and exaltation. So first of all, one, the book of Hebrews is a book of evaluation. Evaluation. Evaluating Jesus and Christianity as better than Judaism. It is better than Hebrew, the Judaism. Two, the book of Hebrews is a book of exaltation, exhortation, warning Christians of the dangers they face in their Christian walk. Then three, the book of Hebrews is a book of examination. Examination. Hebrews establishes for us the detailed knowledge and stability and security every believer has in Jesus Christ. So there's the examination. Four, the book of Hebrews is a book of expectation. Of expectation, encouraging Christians to look forward to a new world, a new city, and a king bringing our inheritance and rewards with him. And then five, the book of Hebrews is a book of exaltation. Exaltation, pleasing Jesus above everything in life. Through His work, His person, exalted on our behalf. So, when you look in the book of Hebrews, you want to look at evaluation, exhortation, warning, three, examination, be examining the Jews and the church age. Four, the Hebrews is expectation, what every one of us would be expecting, and then exaltation in the book itself. Now, after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ, mass evangelism took place in Jerusalem. First, right away after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ, mass evangelism took place in Jerusalem, Acts chapter 2 and following. And then the surrounded area of the Middle East. Then it went to all the area. The gospel message first went to the Jewish people. It went first to the Jewish people. And thousands of them were converted to Jesus Christ as new Christianity. New Christians. So this is the way it all started. This placed them in very difficult circumstances. With their Jewish friends, their Jewish neighbors, their family, all of it gave them difficulty if they followed Jesus Christ. What is so interesting is that Jews who believe in Jesus Christ are still in difficult relationships with those Jews where they believe in Jesus Christ. The problems they have, it is still going on today. The pressure they felt, experienced this from their own people, caused many of these Jewish Christians to drift away, to abandon their Christian faith and return to Judaism. Many of them did that. They, of course, were eternally saved, but the primary purpose of the book of Hebrews was to educate and encourage these Christian Jews to remain loyal to Jesus Christ. Now let me repeat that. They, of course, are saved eternally. But the book later lists and expounds on five subtle threats. Five subtle threats that challenge our walk with the Lord. That challenges our walk with the Lord. One, drifting from the Word. We're looking at subtle threats to believers. Drifting from the Word. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Two, doubting the Word of God. Doubting the Word of God. Chapter 3, verse 7 through chapter 4, verse 13. Doubting the Word of God. Three, dulling toward the Word. First drifting from the Word, doubting the Word, and then dull. We become dullness toward the Word. Chapter 5, verse 11, through chapter 6, verse 20. Four, despising the Word. So first there's drifting, then doubting, then dullness, to despising the Word of God. Chapter 10, verse 26 through 39. And then five, defying the Word of God. Defying the Word of God. Chapter 12, verse 14 through 29. So we're looking at five subtle threats. Drifting from the Word, doubting the Word of God, dulling toward the Word of God, despising the Word of God, defying the Word of God. These five threats or warnings are so important because these threats are subtle attacks against us, Christians, Gentiles, today. Now, first we're going to look at the first of the five warnings. What is the first one? Drifting from the Word. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. That's the first thing we're going to be looking at, is that the danger of drifting away from the Word of God. Danger from drifting away from the Word of God. Chapter 2, verse 1. For this reason, we must pay close attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. So all of this is in one verse. For this reason, we must pay close attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. Now, for what reason? For this reason, we must pay close attention. For what reason? Okay, I'm glad you asked. I'll give it to you. One, because Jesus Christ is the victor of the angelic conflict. Because Jesus Christ is the victor in the angelic conflict. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Jesus Christ is the God-man. We are victors in nothing. Angels are victors in nothing. There is only one victorious person in the universe. There is only one winner, and that's Jesus Christ, our Savior, our friend. Point two. Because we're answering why. What? Because of what? Because of this, pay close attention to what you're listening. Why? What are the reasons? One, Jesus Christ is the victor. Now, point two, because of the Old Testament, documentation has to the superiority of Christ over angels. Hebrews chapter 1, 5 through 13. So we want to be very careful because of the Old Testament, documentation has to the superiority of Christ over the angels. Hebrews chapter 1, 5 through 13. Three, because of the angels have been subordinated to believers in time that we live in. Hebrews chapter 1, 14. This is so important. Why do you want to pay attention to the Word of God? Because angels have now been subordinated to you. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. For, therefore, because of the angelic conflict, the human race is warned not to reject Jesus Christ as Savior. Don't do that. You are alive on this earth. The worst thing you could do is to reject Jesus Christ as Savior. And unfortunately, many people are in the world today rejecting Jesus. Don't do that. Believe in Him as your Savior, please. Five, the fifth reason, Jesus Christ, as a member of the human race, is the victor of the angelic conflict. Furthermore, any member of the human race who rejects Jesus Christ as Savior will share the ultimate destiny of all fallen angels, which is the lake of fire. So point five, the reason you want to pay close attention to the word, Jesus Christ as a member of the human race is the victor of the angelic conflict, which we had as point one. Furthermore, even members of the human race who reject Jesus Christ as Savior will share the ultimate destiny of all fallen angels, which is the lake of fire. The sixth warning, we must pay close attention to the teachings passed down from Jesus to his disciples and now to us. We pay close attention to the teachings passed down from Jesus to his apostles and now to us. And seven, the warning relates to the danger of drifting away by the doctrines being taught. The warnings related is to the dangers of drifting away to the doctrines that you have been taught. This is special warning to Christian or to Jewish unbelievers resisting in Jerusalem, or excuse me, residing in Jerusalem around 67 AD. I'm not going to argue with anyone exact time of this book, but somewhere around 67 AD, some 3 years before the fall of Jerusalem. So there's a warning to Jews that are living, warning them 67 AD to 70 AD, the fall of Jerusalem. In April of 70 AD, did the armies of Rome roll into Jerusalem, and 4 months, 3 weeks, and 4 days. 4 days, 3 weeks, and 4 days destroyed the city of Jerusalem and the temple. According to Josephus, who claims that 1.1 million people were killed during the siege of Rome. Now, which is a majority, all of these people were Jewish. Now, one reason for there were so many, why are there so many? Well, one reason there's so many is because if you think about it, it's April. This is a celebration of Passover. So there are more there that are normally there. And so 1.1 million Jews taken out. Now, an unnumbered Jews were taken away in slavery in Rome, all of the continent. This is one of the great catastrophes of human history. But, just for knowledge, the Holocaust, it is estimated some 6 million European Jews were killed, at least 5 million imprisoned. So, that's another disaster. In the book of Hebrews, a believer under the power of the Holy Spirit wrote to the Jews in Jerusalem, warning them about the fall of Jerusalem. Warning them about the fall. A believer, we don't know his name, under the power of the Holy Spirit, wrote to the Jews of Jerusalem, warning them about the fall of Jerusalem. After God spoke through the prophets, he has spoken to us through his Son, who sat down at the right hand of God, having become better than angels, and that'll be very important tonight, better than angels, and when he comes back into the world, he will come as an eternal king. And in the meantime, he has given us guardian angels to watch over us. So all of this is being put together. For this reason, we must pay close attention to the teaching down from the Jews, from Jesus to the apostles, so that we do not drift away from it. Now, the word to drift, it's a nautical word, nautical term, which means to get off course. That's what it means, to get off course because of the current of water. The drifting the writer of Hebrews is concerned with is the sudden but gradual turning away from the learning of the Word of God. And going on with that is cultural expediency. Now, in our society today, we have churches which are embracing in activities that clearly contradict Scripture. LGBTQ issues, for example, seem to be the main concern of a lot of churches. They want to get with it. The problem is that churches and denominations attempt to appease society. Society's priorities instead of standing firm on the unwavering word, truth of the Word of God. We've got to be careful not to drift away. Think about what is happening today. Just think about today compared to 80 years ago. Remember the controversy, I mean big time controversy, of the movie Gone with the Wind, with the word damn was spoken. That caused a lot of problems. If we don't pay close attention to God's Word, we will drift away. We will drift away, go off course to our lives without even realizing that we're doing it. And what we will drift away from is our stand on biblical truth. And we'll allow ourselves become knocked off course by society itself. Now, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. For this reason, we must pay close attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. This is from the Word of God. Now, in my office, I almost just went through two or three and then moved on with our study, what we're doing. But I couldn't do that. I'm going to share with you some powerful verses in the Word of God. One, a good servant of God is one who is nourished on sound doctrine. A good servant of God is one who is nourished on sound doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished by on the words of the faith and of the good doctrine which you have been following. Two, a Christian should strive to be able to encourage and to refute concerning sound doctrine. Titus chapter 1 verse 9. Titus chapter 1 verse 9. Holding firmly to the faithful word which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict it. Three, when our doctrine is pure, our lives will demonstrate good deeds as proof of the word in our hearts. So you've got to get it in your hearts first. Titus chapter 2, verse 7. Titus 2, 7. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity in doctrine, dignified, verse 8, sound in speech, so good deeds, good speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. Four, the believer has the ability to invalidate the Word of God when he holds tradition or culture above the importance of the Word of God. So the believer can invalidate the Word of God. And here's how he does it. Matthew chapter 15, verse 6. He is not to honor his father. And by this, you have invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition. Five, those who hear and observe God's word are blessed. Those who hear the word of God are blessed. Luke chapter 11, verse 28. But he said, on the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. You've got to hear it and observe it. And when you do that, blessed. Six, those who lack the word of God in their souls lack faith. Those who lack the word of God in their soul lack faith. John 5, 38. Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 38. You do not have his word abiding in you because you do not believe him who wrote these things. Seven. Those who live in and apply the word are disciples of Jesus. John chapter 8, verse 31. John chapter 8, verse 31. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. Now what I do when I write, I highlight or darkened the word if and then. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you will truly be disciples of mine. Alright, eight. Those who follow God's will and those who value and understand God's Word. Those who follow God's will are those who follow the will are those who value and understand God's Word. Got to understand it, and then you follow it. John chapter 8, verse 37. John 8, 37. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. That's what happens if you don't. 9. It is not possible. It is not possible to understand God's plan without understanding God's Word. It is impossible to understand God's plan without understanding God's Word. Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 43. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? Is it because you cannot hear my word? 10. The power of God. This one is, I love this one. The power of God is found in His Word. The power of God is found in His Word. 1 Corinthians 1:18. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. 11. I was going to stop it. There's just so many powerful verses here. Point 11. The Christian's weapon of warfare is the Word of God. The Christian's weapon of warfare is the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 6, 7. The Word of truth, and in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness, are the right hand and the left. 12. Receiving God's approval comes only from God's Word. Receiving God's approval comes only from God's Word. Wait a minute, what about this and what about that? Well, let's just keep looking at the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 5. Although also, 2 Timothy 2, 5, also, if anyone competes in an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. And then add to that, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of those who seek him. 13. The Word of God is able to judge, evaluate. The Word of God is able to evaluate our thoughts, intentions, and motives. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, very famous. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, and both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Point 14. Bible teachers are those who have faith in God's Word. Well, they should. And are worthy to be imitated. We'll see this in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Hebrews 13, 7. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and consider the result of their way of conduct. Imitate their faith. 15. Very good one. The word understood and applied is able to deliver the believer through his trials. The word of God is able, applied is able to deliver the believer through his trials. James chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Therefore, putting aside, those are underlined, putting aside all filthiness and that remains of wickedness in humility, receive the word. Putting aside filthy words and receiving the word implanted, which is able to save your souls, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. So we have to be doers of the word, not merely hearers. 16. God commands us to continue to grow in the Word of God. God commands us to continue to grow in the Word of God in respect, growing in respect to our salvation. 1 Peter 2:2. And like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to your salvation. Reference to how you were saved. Also, now I'm going to move on. Those are 16 different passages. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. For this reason, we must pay close attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. Now verse 2. For if the word spoken through the angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and act of disobedience received a just penalty. Now this one may seem a little out of place, but let's see if we can get it in place. Angels spoke, proved unalterable. That is, what angels had spoken was unchangeable, immutable, fixed. Now, if that medicated through angels was firm and unchangeable, what of that mediated through God's own Son? So if angels spoken is unchangeable, how much better and powerful is the Word of God? The principle is that the Old Covenant carried with it fixed retributions. Every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty. The punishment always suited the sin, or the transgression, and or the disobedience of it. Now, this means 613 laws were given by God to Moses through the angels for the Jewish people, including the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai. With each rule came consequence, some more severe than others. The rules established God's standard of righteousness as well as God's intolerance when it came to violation of His rules. These spoken through angels proved unchangeable. Then, no one could have escaped but the covenant will. The covenant will take effect, would become valid after Christ's death. So let me repeat this so you see what's going on. The covenant, of Old Testament covenant, became effective with Jesus Christ's death. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 17. Hebrews 9:17, for a covenant is valid only when men are died or dead. For it is never forward while the one who made it lives. In other words, if it was given by Jesus Christ as it was, if he was alive, it was workable. It was not workable. But when it became the law of his death, that was different. Now, under the new covenant, believers have the guarantee of salvation from God. In the new covenant, believers have the guarantee of salvation from God. In verse 3, this is spoken of as neglecting so great a salvation. Chapter 2, verse 2. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty. Okay, it's time to get an understanding of what this is. One, first point is going to be a little more difficult. The victory of Christ in the angelic conflict becomes the spearhead for driving home two Jewish unbelievers in 67 A.D. The victory of Jesus Christ in the angelic conflict becomes the spearhead to driving home two Jewish unbelievers in 67 A.D. the importance of believing in Jesus Christ as Savior. Believing in Jesus. They didn't do that before. So these Jews are getting ready to enter one of the worst periods of history into that period of history. The victory of Jesus and his session becomes the spearhead of driving home to these Jews the all importance of getting from shadows. Now they live by shadows. God is moving them away from the shadows. The shadows are no longer spiritually beneficial. Shadows of Israel are no longer spiritually beneficial. Angels administered shadows. But in the angelic conflict, angels have been defeated. And man is now superior to angels. Jesus Christ, in his resurrected body, is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. He is superior to angels. When all believers are resurrected and have a body just like Christ, they are superior. They'll have a body superior to a body of angels. But even now, we are seated in the heaven and above angels. No Jews in the Old Testament ever sat at the right hand of God. Angels are now taken with the place, but the fact that a member of the human race, think about this, a member of the human race, Jesus, is seated above them. Positionally, we in Christ are also seated above it, above angels. Angels can no longer teach. You study the Word of God. Angels can no longer teach. Angels can only be servants of man. Man is superior to angels. Now, point two is simple. These Jews are enmeshed, are caught up in the Mosaic Law, the first part of the New Church Age, and the original communication was through angels. Three, but now, something far more important has happened. Salvation administered by Jesus, the Son of David, and our High Priest forever, and they are missing, the Jews are missing it every day. They are drifting past salvation in Christ. Salvation is the reality, and they are living in the shadows. Salvation is the reality, and they're in the shadows. All they have to do is to believe in Jesus Christ. All that they hold on to in the temple is over, and is in the shadows. Four, the Jews are trying to get something valuable out of the shadows, while the reality is being presented to them. That is Jesus Christ. Five, the angels once administered shadow doctrines. Angels once administered shadow doctrines. But now Jesus Christ administered substance doctrine, reality doctrine that we live under. And finally, point six, if there was punishment for the victory of the Mosaic Law, and if that punishment was just and severe, how much more the rejection of Jesus as Savior? Now, we got time to look at verse 3. How shall we escape? Any questions? Okay. Verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? What a unbelievable declaration. So great a salvation. Salvation itself is awakening. It is centered on Jesus Christ Himself. The deliverance from sin and unrighteousness before God. It refers to salvation, refers to justification, sanctification, perfect righteousness, forever free of judgment. But now, add to the great word is addition, so great. So great a salvation. It is so great because of its source. It is so great because of its source is God Himself. It is so great because it was executed by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It was great because of its source. It was great because of its execution. And three, it was great because of its effect of eternal life. With the Godhead, there are three greats of salvation are pertinent through Hebrews, throughout the whole book of Hebrews. Believers can never be condemned again or after being saved. John chapter 5, verse 24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come under judgment, but has passed out from death into life. But that certainly can expect discipline and for neglect of the Word of God. In God's Word, there is absolutely no hope for being rescued from the law and its consequences if and when we reject the so great a salvation. The phrase confirmed to us by those who heard in verse 3, confirmed by those who hear, is one of the reasons why it is the believed Hebrews was the believer, the reader of the writer of Hebrews was not Paul or any other apostle, but someone who studied under them, confirmed to us by those who heard. So that pretty much confirms it was not Paul who did it. After it was, for as the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us through by those who heard. All right, we will resume here at chapter 3 and 4. Next Wednesday. So let's close now in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we've covered so much tonight. So much to hear, to listen, to learn. But with the power of your Spirit, we can. Power of your Spirit, those who want to will. Pray, Father, you'll continue guiding me, teaching on this great book. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.